Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, Anna.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
This episode is sponsored by Laura Cook, who just became a new Patreon. Listen out for details later in the show of how you could sponsor Dumpty Dum.
So that was a wonderful jazzy Dumpty Dum. This must be Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality ducky drama that is centered in Ambridge, in the heart of the Millers. I'm the Heisenberg. That is also Royfield Brown. And today I'm joined by the truculent
teenager, that is Jacqueline Berto in St Gwen. This week's Dumpty Dum tune is from Marie Bray. And on this episode, we're lucky enough to hear from lots of caller-inners, which is fantastic. There was Owl Witherspoon, Simon from Shropshire, Glyn Fullerlove, Tracy from California, our friend Jojo Sexy Heels, and Mike Jennings via the email.
Plus all of that good stuff, we have a tweet of the week from our Purple Pumpkin, and we have a social media roundup from our Sandra. And don't forget, folks, of course, if this is Dumpty Dum, we have the Facebook roundup, and we're going to be welcoming our new members to our Facebook group.
But first, let's look at the week in Ambridge from our Sue, the Queen or Tart.
Hello, lovely people. It's Sue, Queen or Tart on the Twitters, and another week in Ambridge. And what a strange week in Ambridge. Well, I say that like we ever have a normal week. I end up baffled as to how the scriptwriters end up where they are and how they write stuff which bears so little resemblance to the real world. They spark me off to shout at the radio at least half a dozen times this week, and it counts as a shouty week. I must try not to take these things to heart. Volunteering is a dangerous game in Ambridge, especially where Lindy Bottom is concerned. Why, oh why, isn't she using her volunteers' talents better? Put Stella in goal instead of Harrison and he can go in the dunk tank. Any fool can see that's a sensible swap, so of course it's not going to happen. Stella should have stood her ground regardless of whether Lindy thinks she was making up an excuse. It's just not ringing true for me. Where is the confident woman we've been impressed by in the past? I imagined myself trying to have a similar conversation with Linda and thinking about shoving my hand into a bucket of spiders. It's just not going to be something I'll be persuaded over. I didn't go to Australia for an eclipse because of my phobia, and I don't believe in Stella capitulating like that. I was stunned, however, that Pip could behave like an adult and help Stella at the swimming pool after she sounded like a spoilt, whiny child talking about Toby leaving. Couldn't she go to Stratford and leave Toby? Good on her, though, for the swimming stuff. On the subject of volunteers, I had to shout a bit when Pat was talking to Toya Wilcox. She still looks like herself. Pat clearly doesn't look beyond the end of her nose. And again, when Joyce failed to meet Toya. What the hell was Joyce doing? How far away was she? Hidden round the back somewhere? You don't lose sight of your stand to a perfect stranger, especially one who's just lied to you about who they are. As an aside, Toya is apparently one of the nicest women in the world. I have friends who live across the road from her who speak very highly. I think we're supposed to think that Mick is the salt of the earth. And I suppose what Joyce thinks is what matters. But how annoying he is! And talking of annoying, George, I want to be a burglar when I grow up, Grundy, has matured into a right little thug. And he shed more of his colours this week, looking up to Susan for having been to prison, dragging Brad into his Grundy penorial business. No one should go into business with the Grundys from past experience, and especially not with George. I just had to take my professional hat off and suspend my disbelief. They set up in a shed to make vaping products. Really? You can't just go onto eBay and buy nicotine for very good reasons. Where did he get it from? Who are his contacts? Brad sounds like he's trying to follow good manufacturing practice in a shed. I had to explain to my beloved why I was shouting at the radio again. I did feel for Will, though, assuming it had to be sepsis again, very similar symptoms. Will clearly needs to go deep inside himself and create more pottery masterpieces to get it off his chest. I'm so glad it's radio. I'm very glad to hear Robert and Jimus are still going bird watching. And the conversation between Lindy Bottom and Justin was a hoot. I love a crass, cloth-eared Philistine. The hot pound pot sounded very unappealing, and they just couldn't eat it in stony silence, could they? They are going to take over the world, clearly, this double-headed monster. Talking of chats with Justin, I'd have thought Lillian would jump at putting Alice in the stables. I don't really get why they're choosing someone. Surely it's up to Shula? And finally, our Tracy. That HR interview was just awful. She's got her card marked good and proper. Get out of there, Tracy. Do anything else, my lovely. It did sound like she was lying through her teeth to Chelsea, but going on to a totally different shift to Gemma would solve some issues. Do nights or something. We know it doesn't make for good drama, though, so let's grit our teeth with Lidge fate, and I hope not to have to shout at the radio quite so much this week. Till next week.
Ooh. Did you shout at the radio much this week, Jacqueline?
No, not really. I groaned a bit, but didn't shout. What about you? Did you shout?
Well, I don't know if I shouted, but I did go, blooming hell, this is breaking Ambridge, as in Breaking Bad.
Or breaking Brad. You know.
Yes, breaking Brad. I was like, crumbs. Right, this is so obviously taken from that. But here's the thing. I love a bonkers storyline, which has kind of a homage to something else. And this is so obviously, you know, Breaking Bad, Brad, Breaking Ambridge, Breaking Am, that I just thought, you know what, I love it. And I do miss Eddie Grundy being the ne'er-do-well wheeler-dealer. And now we have it with George. But I think George is very obviously going to sail much closer to the wind because he's going to be an out-and-out criminal. And I love the fact that Brad is the scientist, you know, the brains behind it. I just thought this is all a whole level of bonkers.
Completely.
Did I shout at the radio? No. But did I enjoy it? Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those, as you say, completely bonkers. How did they manage to hustle together all the equipment to make it in 2 days? He was only proposing it to Brad on Tuesday, and by Thursday he'd poisoned himself. So with all the equipment.
So. But you know what? Brad did keep on saying, you know, we're going to do this properly. This is science, and you know, you can't be, you know, trying out the samples. Then look what he went and did. But anyway, you know what? We have so many calls and things to get through that I reckon Madame Berto. We should do a little bit of this and then...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Crack on.
Hello, Ambridge3962.
We go with our big guns. It's Glyn Fullerlove. And by the way, Glyn, I did send you a text message today. So if you could respond to that, that'd be too sweet. All right, smashing. Here we go. Here's Glyn Fullerlove. And he's rather important around these dum-de-dum parishes. Glyn Fullerlove, over to you.
Hello, Dum-de-dum. It's Glyn here. Just a few quick thoughts from me this week on Tracy. It didn't seem to me that the resolution to her work problems has actually happened the way she described it to Jazza and Chelsea, and I think it was Tuesday night, but we didn't hear anything else on it for the rest of the week, which was a little bit curious. Then, of course, we have Brad getting involved with George and the vaping, and my initial thought on Friday evening was, well, Will is going to go ballistic over this and have a row with Ed and Eddie and Emma, possibly. But I'm actually wondering whether the row is going to be between Tracy and Susan, because Susan had more than an inkling that George was actually responsible for the post office, the post box, and has been up to no good and has had the potential to lead Brad astray, but hasn't told or warned Tracy. And when Tracy realises what's been going on, she is going to have a real go at Susan, or possibly also Emma. Any other things, anything else that caught my mind, this caught my ear this week? Well, Stella, Will believes Stella has a phobia, a water phobia. I was a little bit surprised to learn that it came from not being able to get out of a kayak when young. When I was in the Scouts many years ago, we were taking kayaking. And what I remember, the easiest thing was to get out of the kayak when it capsized. You just simply dropped out. The more difficult thing was getting back in. So I can believe she has a phobia. Not sure about the way it was caused. Anyway, thank you for the podcast. Stay safe, everybody, and speak again soon. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. Fullerlove. Just before you answer this in a very fulsome, erudite and intelligent way, I'll hold my hand up and say, I don't actually have a fear of water, but large expanses of water and me do not fundamentally get on. Can I swim? Technically, yes. Got my 10 metres and 25 metres badge when I was about 10, 11, and, you know, you had it sewed onto your swimming trunks. But as an adult, don't like large expanses of water. So I have some level of sympathy with our Stella. But that's me, and that's where I begin and end with this storyline. Jacqueline Berto, the floor is yours.
Crikey. Well, I love swimming. I spend half my life looking for places to swim. So winter, summer, the lot. I love it. I love swimming so much. I just can't get enough of it. But I do understand fierce. So I think that it was a very genuine fear that she was expressing. How it has Glynn said how it came about is, you know, it's entitled to her. But what this story really made me think about was how nice Alice was with her. Alice was really quite...
Pip?
Sorry. God gracious.
Start again. I'll edit that bit out.
I was really pleased to hear Pip being very, very grown up with Stella, offering to help her. It's not often we see the nice side of Pip. I think have we ever seen the nice side of Pip before?
Harsh. It's very harsh. I think Pip is a mini Shula. Listeners just don't like her, almost regardless, right? And she's not exactly a Mad Axe murderer, right? I think it's a little bit unfounded. And I think, Jacqueline Berto, you've been influenced by the Twitter brigade here saying, Pip.
Yeah, possibly. But there's one thing about her, is her voice. It's a bit too undulating for me. I kind of don't know where she's going next with it. So that's a small irritant about her. But she was...
Her voice is like a roller coaster,
indeed,
basically.
Indeed, it is. A bit like a life, really, isn't it? but don't you think there's a bit of a frisson of something between her and Stella? I said this weeks ago and you didn't like it.
I don't mind Pip. But here's a question, though. Admittedly, I had my 9 months hiatus, but has there been any scenes between Pip and Stella before? Because to me, that came out of nowhere.
Ah, right. Yeah. Right at the beginning, there was some nasty kind of backbiting-y conversations to do with where some sheep were kept. Some of Brookfield's sheep were on the land that Stella needed, and it was about messages being passed between Pip, her father, her mother, and Stella, and all being confused. And then, actually, Stella seemed to be getting on really, really well with Ruth. And that seemed to cheese Pip off a bit. So,
gotcha. So they do have some level of relationship.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, them bumping into each other, them being almost like
buddies,
best bosom buddies. I was a bit like, "What?" Mm. But okay, yeah.
So they do have that form.
Now, very obviously, this is less about being the dunk the vicar and more about unveiling the backstory to this new character. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is. Because we had a bit about her dad as well, didn't we? About the fear of him not coming back one day.
Absolutely. And hopefully Mick is going to be the same conduit for us to understand exactly who Joy is, because she's just wrapped up in a mystery, isn't she? She's an enigma wrapped up in a mystery. And we did have last week, there's a little bit of foreshadowing as we're going to discover who she is now through this burgeoning relationship, however, whatever form it takes with Mick, because Adil did say that, remember, he was trying to figure out her through the palm reading, but then she turned it.
Absolutely.
And she was asking him questions, whatever. And he said, words to the effect of, you know, you do a whole load of talking, but, you know, you don't really say anything. Words to that effect. I like Joy, but I'm not a massive Joy fan. And I realize that's not at all what Glynn was talking about. So I'm going to shut up, right, and then say to you, what else did Glynn ponder on this week?
Susan and Tracy debacle over George. I agree with Glynn. I think it's been going to be a massive falling out between those two sisters about George leading old Brad astray. Although it's a stupid story. You know
it is. But I tell you, though, in terms of teenage boys being silly and having schemes, I think teenage boys should be able to be silly and have schemes.
Yeah.
Whether they should be, these schemes should be around vaping, Probably not. Right. Yeah. But I like the fact that one set up as the marketing whiz and the other one is the brains. But anyway, and I think that's a really astute observation by Glenn,
yeah,
because
indeed.
It does put the two sisters completely at loggerheads. Mm. You know, that's smart. That's the reason why Glenn is Glenn Fuller Love, because he's like smarter than the average cookie, isn't he?
He is indeed. It's very good. Wait for his insight before we speak.
Exactly. You know what? We should actually get crib notes from him before we actually start. Say, Glenn.
Actually, maybe we should get him to do the podcast.
That's a stunning idea.
Yeah.
Are you trying to make me redundant?
No, or myself. No.
Stop it. You and Glenn, match made in podcast in heaven, I reckon.
Good
Just
gracious.
Saying. Now, so that's Glenn Fuller Love, and he is somewhere in Middle England. I forget exactly where. I think it's a bit by county-wise. He's kind of Derbyshire and somewhere just outside of London. I don't know. Let's say Godalming in Surrey or something like that. But anyway, that's Glenn Fuller Love. Mr. Middle England, and I say that with the greatest of respect. Now, we're going to go all the way over to the west side. The west coast of the United States is our Tracy. She's in California, don't you know?
Hey, Dumpty Dummers, this is Tracy from California. I am happy to see Joy back this week. I really like her. She's sweet. She's a little lonely, but she's super sweet. I do have to say, with regards to going to the Juice Festival or wherever they were going, why couldn't Helen go and flog her own cheese? She could lead the boys and Lee, and they could have a little boys' weekend with the father or something, but why can't Helen go do her own thing with her own cheese? Also, Pat didn't even ask the event people if it was okay for her to just go showing up with random plates of cheese to be handing out. Like, they might not want that, or they may have some sort of testing standard or something that she didn't even bother to think about. The thing that stood out for me this week was Chelsea. First of all, she is so obnoxious and drives me bananas. And I know people will say young people are obnoxious, but they do not have to be. She's struggling at work, partially because she was never properly trained. And that's on Greg Gables. Like, they know that where that girl came from and even the social tendencies of the adults in her family. So, of course, she's going to need some soft skills training. So they should have trained her instead of punishing her. She also needs some stress and anger management. And maybe her sentence for the crime she committed will help her with that. Russ is creepy. I'm just putting that out there, and I don't even need to elaborate, but he's gross. His voice is gross, and the way he talks to Chelsea is gross. He's just gross. Also, with the conversation she walked in on with Jazzer and her mom, I don't understand why people feel they have to tell kids everything. There are times it's appropriate to tell children that is not your business, and that's not a conversation that you are a part of, so you don't need to know. That's okay. Anyway, that's my time.
Instant cut off.
Thank you for that, Tracy. Right. You start. I'll pick up your threads.
Great. Joy is sweet. I like Joy. And I agree with Tracy that Joy is very sweet and very lonely. So I think it was good that we had her working with Pat and them being friends for the, I can't even say whatever festival it was, the name of it. It's something to do with Cotswolds, wasn't it? Cots are delicious or something. What's the name of the festival?
Cotstravaganza.
Cotstravaganza. That's nice. Sounds almost rude. But the cheese business, the reason that Helen wasn't there is because there are 8 billion other cheese producers. Now, let's talk Toya Wilcox.
It's a mystery. Oh, it's a mystery. Does she still look the same? I don't know.
Well, I think, but she, I don't know about looking the same, but she sounds the same. And I've seen her live a few times and on the stage a few times. So the first time I saw her actually was on the stage in a play called Taming Tansy, which was about boxing, female boxers. So
when you said you saw her on stage, I thought you meant actually as Toya Wilcox, as you know,
I did,
the musician.
As a singer. So okay. As a singer as well, but the acting was kind of parallel with the singing because she was a showwoman, but her voice sounded exactly the same.
She's actually from Birmingham, isn't she?
I was thinking of her as a Londoner because I saw her in London for the first time. So, right,
you know what? I think she's one of us, a Brummy, but I'm going to have a look.
Well, she might well be.
Whilst you keep entertaining the listeners, I'm just quickly doing a Google.
Now, I'm just actually going to talk about Tracy's call as well, because you talked about Chelsea and how obnoxious she is, and I agree, she's a very cross teenager. But in fact, Tracy, she works at Lower Loxley, not Grey Gables, but that's just an aside. So anger management, I don't think she's more angry than your average teenager. I just think she's just in a situation where she's out of her depth and hasn't learnt to control it yet. Maybe I've just had obnoxious teenagers in my life. Who knows? I've got a 14-year-old arriving for a week tomorrow, so don't let me talk about obnoxious teenagers.
But your granddaughter's not obnoxious.
Oh, she wasn't the last time I saw her 4 years ago. No, you're right.
A lot could have changed in that time, I
believe
suppose.
It has.
Toy Wilcox, born in King's Heath in Birmingham.
Oh, Birmingham. Oh, there you are. Along with the other famous people. Yeah, good.
Absolutely. All the best people. She should have been at the Commonwealth Games closing ceremony then.
She should have been.
I don't know how they missed that one. Considering the amount of 80s acts they had there. Anyway, moving through. Is there anything else to add from what Tracy in California talked about?
I don't agree with you about Russ's voice, Tracy. I think he's got a lovely voice. Don't know what I think about the person, but his voice is very smooth.
It is dripping in something, isn't it? You could say treacle, or it's a little bit too sad. It's a little bit too perfect, and it's a little bit too poised. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I quite like it.
I do understand how somebody could take against it. Because it's literally just too perfect. But it's almost old-fashioned, not quite. It's a bit like Adam, and Adam's delivery is almost of a bygone era, you know, and Russ is of the same kind of ilk, really.
Yeah, but I agree.
Anyway, maybe I just don't hang out with posh people that speak like that. I don't know.
Me neither.
Come on now.
Nobody I know really? Speaks like that.
They all speak French. Yeah. That's why.
Exactly. I've got a current new neighbour who's got a very beautiful, sexy French voice and doesn't speak English.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, very nice.
But here's the thing. To English ears, French accents sound sexy anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're
true.
Saying somebody who the default is that their accent sounds sexy. So who's the sexiest of sexy French accents is what you're saying.
Yeah, but rather strangely, for my very banal cross English north south divide voice, apparently when I speak French, a lot of people really find it very attractive.
Really?
And that's really weird. I think it's very weird. I have people come up to me after meetings sometime and say, "It's so fantastic to hear your voice."
So just. I'm kind of fascinated by this, and we'll quickly move on to the other bits of the show. So which French accents are seen as being sexy or intelligent in France? Which regions of France in the way that people speak?
I think the Parisian clipped accent is considered kind of intellectual. And formal. It's the kind of voice a bit like Monsieur Macron has. Whereas a southern voice, which is very sing-songy, and it's kind of fun, but not necessarily to be taken seriously. And I always think of it as we say pain for bread, and they say pang. So that's a basic difference that if you imagine that in a whole conversation, it's not exactly the high echelon of French accents.
Gotcha. Whew. You know what? I always learn from doing a podcast with you, Madame Berto. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Let's talk Cambridge now.
Well, you know what? We are going to talk Cambridge after we do this. The best and the easiest way for you to record a message like Glyn Full of Love or our Trace from California is to go to www.speakpipe.com/dumdydum, or you can go to dumdydum.com and hit the little red tab over there on the left or the right. I can't remember whether it's left or right on the homepage. And now don't forget the T if you go and speakpipe.com/dumdydum. You'll also find a link in the podcast show notes.
And we need your calls in by 6 p.m. on Sunday UK time. Please keep your call to a maximum of 2 minutes and bear in mind that you need to be at least 18 to take part.
Now, this podcast is all about you, the people, and it's the People's Podcast as penned by Stephen Bowden, not Quentin Rayner, because I had a little back channel to say, oi, mush. Right, I penned that little ditty, and Quentin Rayner held his hand up and says, yeah, this is actually true. I cannot take ownership of that. So Stephen Bowden, very sorry. So this is the People's Podcast. Now, if it's the People's Podcast, there are three things that you can do to help us. First of all, if you haven't done so already, hit the subscribe button on your podcatcher. And if you could, give us a 5-star review. That would be hugely appreciated. And guess what, Jacqueline Berto? I found 2 reviews that have fallen down the back of the sofa. So here's a thing for you. If you are listening to us on whatever podcatcher service and they allow you to write reviews, and you've written one, send us an email with a link to it and we'll read that out. We have just been reading our Apple iTunes reviews, but we will read out all reviews that have been submitted to DumDumDum, and we found 2 that run Pod Chaser. Right. So that's that. Those reviews coming up in a bit. Now, finally, the third thing is that you could consider becoming a Patreon. And we know that we have a patron who sponsored the show, and it's Laura Cook. So if you would like to sponsor DumDum by becoming a Patreon, Patreon is a way of tipping creators, and there are different levels with different rewards. So if you go to patreon.com, which is patreon.com, and search for DumDum, we'll be chuffed to bits to have your support. And as I said before, we have a brand new patron this week. It's Laura Cook. Laura, welcome to the inner sanctum. Welcome to all things good, lovely, holy, and cuddly. That is DumDum. Now, before we go back to our calls, don't forget you can send us an email if you don't fancy hearing your voice by going on to dumdydum.com and hitting the contact us button. And we have it on good authority that the email snafus are no longer with us because our friend Liv Harris and a crack team of web developers have fixed the bugs. Now, we go back to our caller innerers. And we have Simon from Shropshire.
Hi, Royfield and Jacqueline and DumDumdummers everywhere. It's Simon from Newport, Shropshire. I'm just bringing up really to talk about the criminal masterminds that is the Grundy family and the likelihood that it's going to all go pear-shaped within a very few episodes. Eddie Grundy should never, ever give parental advice. He was terrible with his own 2 boys. And George seems like he's going the own way. Apart from that, I hope Brad is a better influence on him. It seems like he sees Brad as the brains of the operation, which cannot be a bad thing. But I just hope that the lazy writing doesn't ensue and he doesn't go pigeonholed as the local colourful chappy that are the other Grundy family. Apart from that, I'd like to say it's nice to see that the story around Alice getting to run the stable seems to be a self-fulfilling prophecy that was spoken about on DumDum. So it's nice to see that. You know, I'd just like to say I love the podcast. It's the second time I've called him, and I've listened to The Archer since 2005. And before that, with my parents when I was young. So this is a real one of my favourite things to listen to, and I really enjoyed. Nice to speak to you. Bye now.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? He likes us.
Did he actually say that, or did he say he likes DumDum?
Yeah, well, yeah, he likes DumDum, but it's us a bit more than others at the moment, isn't it? So let's say he likes us.
Well,
get credit where we can, Roy Field.
True that, true that. Well, I always feel like the weakest link. That's all.
Good gracious. Yeah,
and I'm acutely aware of that fact. Anyway, moving swiftly on, let us dig into what Simon, second time caller in a row, said in his call. And I know you've got your copious notes. So as always, you take the lead and I shall follow.
In fact, he's called in 3 days ago. And in fact, it was like 100% correct prediction. It was all going to go wrong, and it did. So well done, Simon. It was absolutely brilliant, brilliant prediction. And it actually came true in 3 days. So there you go.
I'm surprised it all went tits up as fast as it did.
Yeah, but it's what's going to happen next, isn't it? And that's the next bit.
Absolutely. And also, it's going to be interesting seeing Will's response, considering we now have a new Will Grundy, don't we?
Yeah, we do indeed. And his absolute panic that it was sepsis was raw, really raw, and very understandable, I think, under the circumstances.
Yeah. You can really just imagine his panic of seeing his son just ill out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Very similar to his wife a few years ago. You know, I've always thought that the relationship between Will, Ed and George is something which has never really been talked about. It. Like, this kid has two dads, and that's not unique.
No,
but two dads who are brothers.
That is fairly unique.
That's fairly unique. And especially, and then it's two brothers who historically have not got on. I know there's been somewhat of a meeting, you know, in the last 5-6 years or so, a rapprochement.
Very good.
The French there.
Very continental.
There you go. Very out of step with times in Britain to be continental.
Yes,
you know.
Sorry for you all.
But anyway, let's not bring Brexit into it. And I'm sure that as we discover more and more about George, his unique upbringing is going to be the reason for him to be a wrong'un. You know, this two dads thing who are brothers.
Yeah.
You know, that has to be part of it.
I'm not so sure that it's the upbringing. I'm not so sure that that's going to be what's making to turn him into a wrong one. I think it's definitely.
Why do you think he was just born rotten to the core?
No, I don't. Exactly. I think that he's encouraged by his grandfather. Eddie was definitely encouraging him, trying to say, oh, well, you know, when he was having the conversation, the argument with Ed about vaping anyway, well, there was Eddie saying, well, you did worse, underage drinking, blah, blah, blah. And so I think it's actually, yeah, he's a bit of a badder. And we've thought he's going down the wrong line with his uncle being there and the stealing of the money a few years ago and stuff like that. But Eddie is definitely not helping.
No, he's not. It was Alf, wasn't it?
It was Alf, the brother, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, who took it all on the chin. For George, didn't let on that he'd actually stolen the money. And yes, but that unique childhood has got to be referenced at some point. But you know what? Yes.
Yeah, but
yes,
it's a unique childhood in a certain family setting, and the Grundys are a certain kind of family.
But he's also, he's 50% Horribin too.
Indeed. Well, there's no hope for the poor child.
Absolutely, especially, you know, if you have Clive as an uncle, he's an out-and-out villain.
No.
You know, all the terrible things that he did with the raid in the post office, and was it Christine who he kept hostage?
Yeah.
All kind of craziness, yeah. Whatever. So, and that's the reason why Susan ended up in Nick.
Yeah, it is.
Because she didn't dob in Clive back in the
day. In fact, what we're saying really is that George is a scriptwriter's dream as far as his backstory is concerned.
He absolutely is. But hadn't thought about it like that, but yes, absolutely. And the scriptwriters always like writing baddies as opposed to goodies. It's much more fun.
It makes a change from a rural idyll, doesn't it?
True that, Madame Berto. Shall we leave talk of a rural idyll and maybe go to a metropolitan hub at the upper lower East West Side and have a little touch of the Witherspoons?
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Royfield, Jacqueline, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. Big news this week. The Archers introduced a spin-off series, Breaking Bad, Ambridge Edition, The Vape Lab. Or did our favorite docudrama finally jump the shark? First, a shout out to Ed and Will. We do have to give them more credit for their journeys to the men and fathers they have become, considering what a shite dad they had. Eddie, our occasionally lovable scalawag, did not have a very good week, and we could see that his flaws are chronic and significant and are now affecting the next generation. Now, I never watched Breaking Bad, but I have a pretty good idea of what went on in it. So let's move on to the young imps, George and Brad, as Eddie would probably refer to them. In the last few weeks, we've had a quick immersion into their personality development and relationship, which now we see was to build to this dramatic moment. I'm sure everyone reacted as I did when the story quickly unfolded. Script writers, were you bored? Were you knowingly joking with us? George, now a budding Cray, and Brad, the genius with morals, gone wrong trying to please his bully? What does Brad know about constructing a lab, and in 2 days, no less? I immediately thought, how long will it take for someone using the product to get sick with some sort of fungal or bacterial infection? The answer was, not very. By the time you hear this, we'll know some other answers. Will George survive? Probably. Will Brad be racked by horrible guilt and confess everything, including Eddie's approval of the plan? Yeah, I think so. Or will this be a red herring? Maybe George did eat some dodgy food, and they'll merrily proceed with their criminal plans. Stay tuned for the next episode of Breaking Bad, Ambridge Edition. Talk to you soon.
Very good indeed. Very good indeed. I hope that he's just eating something dodgy and they continue with this bonkers criminal storyline, this juvenile criminal storyline, because how, you know, where can it go? You know, they're not going to be selling vape products, flavored rural vape products to half a Borsetshire, are they?
No, they're not. Don't see him getting a Maserati soon either.
Exactly. You know, was it a Maserati during the week and a Range Rover at the weekend?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
But here you go. If ever we needed more proof of what a Saint Brad is, he would just give his mom the money.
Yeah, it wasn't that lovely. And the fact that George dismissed it. Really
There's just a bit of a silence from George for a second, and then it's
it's good. A good contrast between the two of them. I still don't quite see why Brad's going along with it, but I think maybe.
But I tell you the reason why. It's approval. It's approval of sorts, and an approval from somebody who is his peer, who's actually ignored him. He says, "You've ignored me at school." Right, and then here is somebody who then he turns around and says, "I need you."
Yeah,
and that's a very powerful thing for anybody to have that approval all of a sudden, let alone a teenage boy who is somewhat isolated.
Yeah, you're right, so Royfield. You know, I agree. I agree with you. Good question.
I know. I am right. But I tell you who else is right, Witherspoon.
Yeah.
As a stunning call, sir. Stunning call. Now, shall we go on to your friend and mine now?
Yes, the one Dumpty Dumber that we've both met.
Yes. It's JoJo Sexy Heels.
Hi there, Dumpty Dummers. It's JoJo Sexy Heels here. Long time no speak. Lovely to see that Royfield and Jacqueline are running the show. I've met you both, and great people. I only have one little thing for this week. Obviously, we've got the village fete. We do need a celebrity. And to use the words of a certain Toya Wilcox's song, a shot in the dark, a big question mark. Definitely got to be Toya, hasn't it?
Mm.
Bye for now.
It would just be odd if Toya only came on for that one episode, wouldn't
well,
it?
Well, Pat actually invited her, didn't she, to the fete, so.
Oh, crumbs. There you go. I didn't even
realize. She told her where she could buy the cheese.
Yes. Well done. Well done, you.
Yeah. You know what we haven't talked about? Mick.
What's that?
Mick. Did we talk about Mick and Joy?
No, we haven't.
Do you think he's a good one or a bad one?
Here's the thing. The only thing we talked about was the fact that he's going to be used as a plot device for us to discover Joy's backstory, her tragedy with Rochelle. You know, why is the reason why they're estranged, et cetera, et cetera. And who exactly Joy is, because we just don't know. but those jokes were awful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And she was giggly as hell.
It was right up Joy's street, but my God, if I was Pat, I would have got out of there at least half an hour earlier.
I think she was being a good friend, though, wasn't she? She said she'd stick by for a while. And then she managed to have a little bit of a word, a mama bear word with him when Joy was off powdering her nose. So that was a very good scene, I thought. But I still, I reserved good judgment whether he's a goodie or a baddie. But as you say, it could be a very good conduit for getting her story out.
I think that's going to be the whole reason for him to be, you know, to come into the show. Because, yes, Tony's friendly with Joy. And we had the big blurt from Sausage Boy thinking that Joy had her hooked into her dad, which was rather funny. But for all of Joy's outgoing friendliness and taking her kit off, in the art class, you know, we know nothing about and Adil said last week, you know you do a lot of talking, don't know anything about you, so this is the start of Joy being revealed a backstory. I think Mickey's good in that regard, but I don't know if I can listen to too many scenes with them pair. These terrible jokes. But anyway, we haven't really talked about Tracy and Gemma, have we?
No, we haven't. And is Tracy being truthful at home?
No, she's got the sack, hasn't she? I reckon she's got the sack.
Yeah. Oh God, that's just awful. Yeah.
And she just doesn't want to say because she knows that Chelsea will take it badly. Because Chelsea will say that, you know, she got the mom the sack, and she did in part.
Yeah, she did in part.
No two ways about it. And then Jazz will just worry even more so. So I think she's out on her rear, and she's just trying to cover it up.
Right, well, we shall see whether that prediction comes true.
We will indeed. Now, going back to our little rundown and a script, and I'm going to push this down and I'm going to edit that little bit out. So there you go. There's caller inneris. Now it's time for emailer inneris.
Yeah, we've had a few emails this week, and the first one is from Sophie's. Hang on a second, Royfield. Nestor, get out of here. Nestor, allez, va avec tonton. Sorry, dog.
Wait a minute, is your dog bilingual?
Yeah. Both of them are.
Wow.
They speak only French with Loic, and they speak English and French with me. Orders tend to be in French because then they get the same order. But I do speak to them in English as well, and they don't seem to mind. So I think it's tone of voice, actually. Right, I'll start again.
I don't know about that. All I know is
there's another one now. Get out.
As a human, I am utterly monolingual, but you've got two canines who are bilingual. My God, am I the weakest link on this podcast?
So let's look at these emailer inners. So our first email this week is from Sofa Spudnot. Hello, Dumpty Dum. Just wanted to say that after the excellent, as always, tweet along this week, I think we are definitely in two camps re-Russ, either thinking he is a great he's great supporting Chelsea, or being suspicious knowing his previous history. I wonder if it depends how long you've been listening for. Thanks for keeping going. So lovely to have Royfield back. Second one's from Christine.
My comment last week about Henry's mobile was made because I was sure I heard someone mention he was about to go to secondary school. According to my research, Henry was born on the 2nd of January 2011, which would make him 11 by now. Yes, Christine, you're utterly spot on. I had completely... When myself and Jacqueline were trying to speculate as to his age, I actually got mixed up with his little brother. So that's the reason why I made the mistake, because he was born, at least Helen went into labour when Nigel fell off the roof. And I did know that, but I got him mixed up with his little brother. So, but yes, 11-year-olds, last year of junior school or primary school, that's when they all seem to get phones. It's pretty standard.
And also, can I say thank you to Christine for the lovely message I had from her today, this week. That was great. Thank you very much. Another message from Gadget Girlie.
I'm so glad that Chelsea has done the right thing, and I thought that Russ was much less creepy towards Chelsea this week and very supportive. Loving the podcast. Thank you. And our last email is from Claire.
I should listen again to the last couple of Dumpty Dums, but instead I've decided to ask you direct. Please can you give me the details of the YouTube guy who does the 20-minute presentations on the English language? Many thanks, and very many thanks for the wonderful world of Dumpty Dum. My sister introduced me to it about 4 years ago. I love it.
So, Claire, the channel that you want is called Let Them Talk TV, and you will just find a whole plethora of great videos there by Gideon. Whether it's how Dutch changed the English language, 6 ways English is bloody difficult and what to do about it. It just goes on and on and on. Gideon's incredibly entertaining, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful host. So it's Let Them Talk TV.
And I watched one this week and it was very entertaining.
Now, those are email inners, and don't forget to send us an email. You can either do WhatsApp, which is +447 957 167 696, or you can go on to dumdydum.com and hit the contact us tab. Now, we have reviews from Apple iTunes. Oh, well, actually, we've got one from Apple iTunes and we've got two others. And they're all 5 stars. Woohoo! First one is called A Lovely Send Off.
What a lovely send off Dumpty Dum has given to June Spencer. I started listening to this podcast in June, and no one else in my family listens to The Archers. I feel as if I've found my Ambridge home.
And it says, thank you both, Royfield and Jacqueline. And that's from Christine, a.k.a. Gadget Girlie. And from Podchaser. Now, remember, if you've written us a review on a platform other than Apple iTunes, please send us a link to it, and then we will read it out.
Yeah, you can always send that to me via private message on Twitter as well. The first one is from Triffid Oil Inc. and was actually written on the 30th of May this year. Love listening to Royfield and Co. Insightful, silly and fun. The hashtag chickens of Ambridge want more chickens in it. And the second one is from Stone Dave, my favourite fan podcast all about BBC's The Archers.
Thank you for that, Stone Dave. So there's reviews. What has our Facebook group been talking about this week? Let's find out as we sit back for the Facebook roundup of all the goings on in the Dumpty Dum Facebook group with our Sandra.
Hello, this is Sandra with a selection from the Facebook group. The forecasts of disaster at the festival last Sunday were wrong, and it turned out to be a rather joyful event. But poor Joy, missing the celebs. Shirley Farron Anstey said, Toya Wilcox, were they still looking for someone to open the Ambridge fate? You're probably right, Shirley, and we'll soon find out. Of course, there were a few references to song lyrics in the comments. Jacqueline Bateau, Jacques. Gemma's private prosecution turned out not to be a scam, as some thought. Glyn Fullerlove wondered how much it would cost and how long it would take. Fiona Caspers was right in thinking that Gemma would let it run for a few days to put the wind up Tracy. Tracy told Chelsea that everything was okay, but was it? Gray Shaw thought that Tracy was lying so Chelsea wouldn't feel worse about the situation. Most agreed, but Lillian McCarthy took it at face value at first. Then she heard what everyone else was saying. Lydia Cavendish wondered why Tracy hadn't spoken to Emma about her experience of Gemma.
Well, Lydia, M has been very quiet of late. Lila Toff is unhappy with the Gemma Tracy storyline and has found it triggering. A few people shared instances of bullying that had been aimed at them in the past. George featured last Sunday as well, and we know where that went. Rob Williams said, George and Brad look like they're going to be an Ambridge remake of that hit programme, Breaking Bad. Elizabeth Llewellyn thinks that the Vaping Bad storyline is absurd, and Josh Steinhaus wondered if there was any money in this dumb plan. Paul Newman referred to Ed and Eddie, remembering that George had said, when he was young, that he wanted to be a burglar. Burglar George. Oh, how we laughed. Paul expects George to follow in the footsteps of Uncle Alf and become a career criminal. Leo Horsemeyer remembered that back in 2011, George was impressed with Uncle Clive and that they played a burglar game together. There does seem to be some agreement that George is suffering from nicotine poisoning, as suggested by Jackie Aubrey. Many listeners understand why Will jumped to a conclusion of sepsis. Fiona Caspers explained that the early symptoms are similar and Will is still hurting from Nick's death. And to end, unlike Leo, some listeners have short memories. Hannah Keir asked if Toby had given up the gin making. Of course, Stephen Bowden remembered that Toby had sold it out to Shire some time ago. Well, that's all from me for now. Bye.
Thank you, Sandra, and thank you to everyone who's posted their thoughts on the Dum-de-Dum Facebook group. But we never completely close the book on Facebook without welcoming our new members. And this week we have
Peter Price,
Paul Collins,
Moira Wilmot. You can also find us on Twitter under @dumtdum. Our team always includes the Archers hashtag using a capital T and A, so that the visually impaired can enjoy any Archers-based tweets. Also, that hashtag is your gateway to the enjoyable tweet along, both in the evenings, in the week, and during the omnibus on Sunday. Also, try and include @dumtdum in your tweet, so more people get to see it, which helps to keep our community growing.
As well as @dumtdum on Twitter, Jacqueline, where can you be found?
I can be occasionally found on there @jberto_sanguin.
If we're talking Twitter, it must be Tweet of the Week from our Purple Pumpkin.
Hello, Royfield, Jacqueline and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Purple Pumpkin here with a selection of Tweets of the Week. The Twitterati were in fine humorous form following this week's storylines. The thread I recommend taking a look at is about the vaping flavours being brewed up by Brad and George. In a thread started by Sarah Mattox, @SarahMattox, we have suggestions like Tumble Tussock, Hint of Scruff, Wet Llama, Ballistic Flapjack, or my personal favourite, Bullshit and Rank Kefir. Now, to the medals this week. Selected from a load of jokes about Breaking Bad or Breaking Brad, Ambridge edition. In bronze position, it's a tweet from our friend Claire Asprey, @ClaireJAsprey. Can't help feeling that George and Brad are more Only Fools and Horses than Breaking Bad. In silver, it's KJ, @Eggstones. Ambridge, be afraid. No one will be safe from a Lasnell production when Justin becomes her enforcer. And in gold, it's regular medalist Ian, @RuthaIan, with a tweet that requires a tune, so I'll try and do it justice. When the horror bins in times of trouble, dumpty 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 dee, Russ speaking words of wisdom for Chelsea. God, that was awful, but sorry about that. That's it for this week. See you all again at the next tweet along.
As always, Purple Pumpkin, Theo, you have found three corkers, and I really enjoyed this week's thread. But yes, we're on Twitter. Yes, we're on Facebook. We're all over social media, which means we should also be on Instagram. and we are. You can follow us on Instagram where we're at DumDeeDum, so please follow us there.
And thanks as ever to all our contributors and to our social media supremos, Shambridge for her voices, and to our podcasting godmother, Lucy V. Freeman. Also, many thanks to P&Q for their sterling work in the last year.
There you go, folks. That'll be a DumDeeDum. See you all in 7 days' time for another rip-roaring, barnstorming episode of All Things in Breaking Ambridge.
Au revoir.
Tatty bye. There you go, Madame Bordeaux.
Lovely.
Look at that. 2 minutes past 10.
Good gracious.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.